with the evidence. They'll say, okay, my dog bit you and it hurt you, but it was your fault. And this might be something like, okay, my chemical causes cancer. Yes, you're exposed to my chemical, but that your levels are too low. And that's sort of the stage that they're at here, Amy. So with the formaldehyde industry, they're saying, well, you know, these studies of tens of thousands of workers that are exposed to formaldehyde over a working lifetime and have cancers not only of the nose and throat, but also of the blood and bone marrow, of leukemias and lymphomas, which is what the industry is trying to deny, they say, well, those workers were exposed at much higher levels, and you're not exposed at those high levels. But actually, when people are exposed, they're exposed even when they're children or infants, because a lot of that formaldehyde is in your home, and the indoor levels are actually much higher than the outdoor levels because the fumes are emitted from a lot of that particle board and plywood and composites that are furniture and other things in your home are made of. So it's a real problem because pregnant women are exposed. People are exposed, therefore, pre-birth, early in childhood. If people live in the homes, they may spend really most of the day in the home. And so vulnerable periods of their development, they're exposed to these chemicals. And that's much more serious in a lot of ways than an adult, healthy male worker.
Let me just ask Joaquin some quick question as we wrap up the show. David Koch was on the board of the National Institutes of Health, right?
That's right.
One of the chief lobbyists for formaldehyde is on the board, then leaves. Is there any relation to now the reports coming out?
Well, he offered his resignation in October after an article came out in The New Yorker by Jane Mayer that first raised the issue of his involvement with the board on the National Institutes of Health. How closely this report is linked to his resignation and the conclusions that it made is yet to be seen.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us, Joaquin Sapien with ProPublica and Jennifer Sass with the Natural Resources Defense Council. That does it for our show. We'll link to their articles at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
The next time you're not stuck in traffic, you might give a wave of thanks to the railroads. Because they carry more freight, railroads take the equivalent of 9 million trucks a year off the highway. That's enough to make anyone who appreciates cleaner air breathe a sigh of relief. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, locomotives are 3 times cleaner than trucks. In fact, if just 10% of the freight moved by highway were shifted to the rails, there would be 2.5 million fewer tons of carbon dioxide in the air every year. Fuel efficiency is another advantage of rail. Locomotives, on average, use just 1/3 as much fuel as trucks to move a ton of freight a mile. This not only helps the economy, but the environment as well. For more information, visit the Association of American Railroads website at www.aar.org.
Ahoy, fellow boater!
Who are you?
I'm your safety pirate. I'll be joining you on board your ship today, matey.
You will?
Aye. Now, why aren't you wearing your life jacket?
Because I haven't launched my boat yet.
What's in the thermos? It's liquor, ain't it? Drunken boating's against the law, you know.
It's coffee.
What does the orange diamond on a buoy stand for, eh?
Danger.
Have you taken a boating safety course?
Yep.
Who played the skipper on Gilligan's Island?
Alan Hale, Jr.
This message is from the National Safe Boating Council, who wants you to be safe when you're out on the water. Isn't that what you want? So take a boating safety course, wear your life jacket, and watch out for other boaters.
And remember to boat smart from the start, matey!
Yeah, safe boating, the way to go, baby, the way to go. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and it is 6:01 in the p.m. on Tuesday evening, and you know what that means. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you. And this is the first of a series of Scandinavian shows. I figure, you know, since it's kind of the middle of summer in the year 2011, it's not quite summer yet, but it's getting there, what better time than to have something from the dead of winter? Not only the dead of winter, but the depths of Scandinavia, northern Scandinavia, where the sun goes down and doesn't come back up for a couple of months. This show that we're going to listen to tonight was recorded in December, mid-December of 2010, and this particular episode takes place in the city of Tromsø in northern Norway. And it's one of the most amazing places I think I've been to. In fact, it's my third time there. I've been there once before in the dead of winter, and another time when the midnight sun was out. And that's, of course, the opposite of eternal darkness, when the sun just never goes down and is always light. But Tromsø is an amazing city in that it's used to that type of a thing, and people just manage to get by, not just get by, but be happy and have fun and do all kinds of cool things. Very lively place. And it's not nearly as bitterly cold as you might expect it to be in that particular part of the world. And that's because something to do with the Gulf Stream, which basically keeps it at temperatures that are just freezing, but not crazy freezing. Although, that said, what we're going to be listening to tonight takes place on top of a mountain, and we're looking down on the city of Tromsø, waiting for a flyby of military planes. That's some kind of annual event. They do this every now and then, and that's the reason for us taking a cable car all the way up to the top of the mountain and spending some time in what was really pretty cold weather, looking down on the city. But even that was not nearly as bad as it gets if you were to wander way into the tundra and really experience cold temperatures. Isn't it great to be talking about cold temperatures and winter and snow and darkness at this time of year? Of course, those of you listening in the southern hemisphere, you're probably going through somewhat of a winter right now yourself. But for us up here in the New York area, it's quite a different story. In fact, it was really brutally hot last week, and I can think of no better way to spend some time than to reflect on what it was like when it was winter time and nice and snowy. Now, the next couple of weeks, too, we're also going to be in Scandinavia. Next week will be a train ride from Norway into Sweden. In fact, that train ride lasts 2 weeks. Well, the train ride itself didn't last 2 weeks, but the shows will last 2 weeks. Part one will be next week. Part two will be the week after that. Anyway, so what we're going to be doing is listening to some Norwegian radio. We like to do that, too. Whenever we go to various parts of the world, we always like to bring back some sounds of the radio dial. And we have a bit of that. There's a Norwegian newscast hidden in here somewhere. And, of course, you probably won't understand very much of what's being said, but a few words will leap out at you, and you'll kind of get a sense as to what's going on. I know I did, anyway. This was also recorded around Christmas time, so you'll hear some holiday-type sounds and all kinds of other interesting things like that. And you'll hear some American music as well. That also happens quite a bit. But for now, we're going to start with just some Norwegian radio, and then we'll be looking down from the mountaintop onto the amazing city of Tromsø, a place I really recommend going if you ever get the opportunity to go over to Scandinavia. Do something unusual. Go to Tromsø, and you'll be surprised. Enjoy.
Der hører jeg Maria synge søt. 있을테고
surprised that this works, actually, because we have the static and we also have wind, but it might work. But in case it does work, we're standing on the top of, we're standing overlooking the city of Tromsø in Norway and waiting for a flyover of, what is it, Air Force jets?
Norwegian Air Force jets.
Norwegian Air Force jets. That's the voice of Stig, by the way, who lives here in Tromsø. Say hi, Stig.
Hi.
Stig was in New York a number of years ago, and this is the most incredible community up here in northern Norway, where it's dark from late November into mid-January. The sun does not rise. It's actually kind of light now, but the sun is not above the horizon. But it's an incredible place. And, of course, in the summertime, the sun doesn't go down for a period of time. So that's pretty incredible. Here with Kyle, too.
Hi.
This is quite a view, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful up here. It's picturesque. There's white mountains just everywhere around. You can see the city of Tromsø on this island, and you don't get the sense of it when you're down on the island, but there's water all around you.
It's very much like Manhattan as far as the way it's laid out. I mean, it looks like we're in Brooklyn right now, looking down at Manhattan, and over there those mountains would be New Jersey, and then to the south there would be Staten Island. It's laid out in a very similar type of a way, and it's also quite a lively place considering how far north it is.
Absolutely. It's really a lot of fun that the community can persist here and what otherwise seems very alien. You're almost on another planet, especially way up here from this vantage. There's all sorts of wind and snow. The snow is so windblown that you can walk on it and you won't sink down, which is pretty amazing.
It really
gives you an idea.
Now, we're waiting here for the flyover of the jets, but it's interesting, too. I mentioned the sun hasn't come up, but I do see the moon, which is about the gibbous moon, about maybe four-fifths full. And I wasn't expecting to see the moon. I thought the moon traveled along the same path as the sun, so if you couldn't see a sunrise, you wouldn't see a moonrise either, but that's totally wrong, apparently. And I'm wondering if the moon stays up 24 hours. You know, it's possible that moon never actually goes down. So I'll be watching it for the next day and see if it's always there, just circling around, learning quite a bit about the skies and about nature and things like that. Stig, how long have you lived here?
All my life, since 1970.
So you get used to it, I guess, the weirdness of the seasons.
No, not really. I don't think anyone who lives up here for a longer time than 5 years get used to it, especially during the darkest hours of the winter, because, you know, it's a lot of wind and winter and snow, so, and always this perpetual darkness. So it gets on your mood sometimes.
Well, we've been living with the perpetual darkness for the last several days, and yeah, it affects you. You feel it. It's light now, but it's really only light for a couple of hours a day.
Yeah, I'd say it's about what a twilight or a dawn feels like. There's very beautiful colors, a beautiful pink off behind us where the sun is, and
you can't see the sun.
Correct. You can't see the sun in entirety, but you can see the reflection off the clouds, and it's very pink and beautiful. And this is actually the brightest point in the day, which is amazing. And otherwise, it just gets very dark very, very quickly, and people just sort of live their lives. And, you know, there's different tricks we've heard from people that they use to manage in this kind of climate. And people are surprisingly active. There's lots of jogging and, you know, that kind of thing. And there's candles all over the place. And
wait. Sorry, I hear airplanes. I hear airplanes.
Here they come.
All right. Whole bunch of them. So they dropped a bunch of, ordnance of some sort?
Yeah.
what shall we read into that?
I think it was flares, but you never know.
Uh-huh. They just dropped it onto the water, I guess, or those fireworks, I guess, is the equivalent.
It's actually the first time I see them do that.
I've never seen anything like that. We're actually above them. We're looking down at the plains because we're on top of a mountain and the city lies below us. So how often do they do something like this?
Every Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, this is about a week before Christmas. So on Christmas Eve, you have a bell squad from inland who fly over information. And it, oh, sorry, telephone.
Oh, your telephone sounds like a crow.
Yeah, it's a duck.
Or a duck, rather. Yeah. I was wondering where the duck was.
Yeah, so,
I think they're coming about.
Yeah, I believe they are. So I guess, yeah, as Stig was saying, there's a squadron of Bell helicopters that does something similar during New Year's. And, yeah, it really was kind of majestic to see them. They floated by very quietly, and they were in sort of a cross pattern, which I thought was very cool. Sort of like, what do I want to say? The Maltese or the square cross, which was kind of cool, and I'd say it was about 10 planes, but
we could hear them before we could see them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is there any other community around here they'd be flying over as well?
No, only Tromsø.
What's the nearest community to this?
To Tromsø? In terms of cities, you have a place called Harstad, which is about 2.5 hours by boat. And beyond that, yeah, it's a lot of small communities around.
I see lots over there. Is that a small community?
That's part of Tromsø.
That's part of Tromsø. It's pretty far away.
Tromsø is a very large area. So
that's like in, I guess, where Newark, New Jersey would be. Not Jersey City, probably.
Yeah.
It's down there. But it's rather far away. But I was reading about various communities that have two people in them, two people who live in these. I don't even know how that's a community. It sounds like a house to me. But you take a boat to an island, and there's literally two inhabitants. Some have six, some have 20. Those are the big ones, I guess.
Traditionally, there has been farming and fishing, a dual way of living up here in northern Norway from old times ago. But most of these small places, they have not been able to, I think.
I hear airplanes again.
Yeah. Okay. You see them?
Yeah. All right, the Norwegian Air Force has been spotted. Oh, there they are, to the left. Okay, they're heading south now. Are they going to turn around and come back?
Yeah, they're flying down to Silsand, which is south of here, turning and coming back for another sweep, I think.
How long does it take to get down there?
5 minutes, maybe. So they fly up from Bodø. And,
Bodø, okay. I took a train there once.
Yeah, so you fly directly from there. That's, the,
that's an airport there.
Yeah, and then Air Force Base also. That's where they send up the F-16s to fend off Russian fighter bombers, who would always try to, you know, test us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This actually happens?
Oh, yeah, all the time. They fly down from the Kola Peninsula, where they have their air bases, and then fly out, and then south, just outside the border of Norway, the sea border. And then they test to try to fly inside, because they can't do that. And then they scramble jets from Bodø.
So it's like a game. They kind of test
exactly.
each other.
Exactly. And this game has been going slow since the wall fell, but gradually increasing. So,
do the Norwegians ever try and test the Russians out on their border? No.
No, are you crazy?
Well, it just seems like it would be only fair.
No.
Well, I invite you to test our borders out in the United States. I'm sure we'll be friendly.
You think so?
Well, I don't know. Norwegian Air Force suddenly crossing over into our airspace. It would be an interesting news item anyway. I still hear them. They sort of make a lot of noise going down there.
Yeah, I think they're making a turn. I just saw it here, and then coming back again for a second cross.
And there seems to be more people here now all of a sudden. Did a second cable car come up?
Yeah.
I really am a sucker for military planes like that. I mean, I wish they did more peaceful things with those kinds of vehicles, but it's something really beautiful about it. No matter what military it is, it's really kind of cool to see machines and people working together and being a one unit.
The same could be said of any technology. It could be used for military purposes or for peaceful purposes and mechanics of any sort, but yeah, airplanes, the whole beauty of flight is something to see.
Yeah, it's really kind of neat, and yeah, I'm really thrilled that we got to coordinate and got to see this little demonstration for the holidays.
It's worked out really well. We've been here for a couple of days, and Stig was able to get this information that this flyby is taking place today and get us up here on the mountain in the 3 hours or so of light that exists during the day here. So it's really worth it. In another, hour and a half or so, it's going to be dark again.
Yeah, I can't even describe it. It's really something else. I think I was talking a little earlier about the things people do. They're quite active, lots of jogging and normal things you do during the day. You know, kids coming home from school, and, you know, it's quieter at night. But during the day, even though it's dark, you see people running around on the streets doing things, especially now. It's holiday season, so people are doing a lot of shopping. And they put candles out, which is really kind of cool. And some of the people we've talked to have told us that it helps kind of helps with the mood, helps people have a little more light in their lives and stuff.
Little things like candles on the sidewalk, yeah, they somehow brighten things up.
Yeah. Instead of just, you know, looking down at this icy pathway in front of you and, you know, trying not to slip, you have a little bit of light, you know, a little something fun, a little natural warmth.
I'm worried about your fingers because you have the kind of gloves that for some reason your fingertips stick out of. Aren't they freezing?
That's why I'm clenching them. So
my fingers are freezing, and I'm wearing gloves. So I don't. First of all, what's the point of gloves where the fingers stick out the end?
I don't think I can unclench them.
Oh dear.
No. Oh no. False alarm. No, they work. I can.
But
I can
what do those gloves do? You need to cover your fingers. That's an important.
You know, these are called smoker's gloves, but I don't really use them for that. They're basically mittens and fingers at the same time. And I don't know if that's a very good way of describing them, but basically what they do is. Your four fingers are exposed about halfway up the finger, and then your thumb is covered all the time. And there's a mitten that buttons to the back, and you can unbutton it and flip it over the four fingers. And I particularly like this type of glove because I can get out my camera and, you know, take pictures and adjust knobs and switches, and the gloves aren't getting in my way. And then and quickly put things away and then put the mittens back over my fingers so I don't freeze.
Well, I'm standing here wearing a Chinese rabbit hat that I've had for a number of years, but it keeps me very warm. My head is warm. My fingers are freezing, even though I'm wearing gloves. But you really have to dress for the climate here. Although Tromsø, in general, is rather warm, isn't it, Stig? The temperature here is not that extreme for the winter.
No, not really. Not according to the latitude we are living on, because you have the Gulf Stream, which comes from up against the Norwegian coastline, and it warms up considerably the mean temperature here, both during the winter and during the summer. But still, the weather is horrible.
Well, I mean, just to give you a sense, the other day it was above freezing. Things were actually melting, and it was raining a little bit. Now it's below freezing. Of course, we're up on top of a mountain, so it's much colder up here. And if you keep going a little bit over the mountains, I'm sure it'll get extremely cold very fast.
Exactly. And I was in Murmansk in northwest Russia a few days ago, and that's about the same latitude as Tromsø, and there it was like minus 20.
So you just came back from Russia. You went to another place, but it was just as dark there. You went still above the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was just as dark there.
When is the last time you saw the sun?
Oh, well, due to bad weather in November, I think it was maybe the second week in November, last time I saw the sun.
Hmm. Well, we saw it a few days ago. It's still there. It's fine.
Thank God.
it'll be back soon.
We don't have to sacrifice any virgins up here then.
No, it'll be back, though, sometime in late January here, right?
Yeah, in about, I think it's the 21st of January, the sun returns. But then it will be just a little disc above the mountains.
Is there some kind of ceremony when that happens? Do people celebrate?
We just eat pastry.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a nice change from what normally goes on.
Exactly. Worse here 2,000 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, my dad told me that there should be... I don't know. I hope they're going for a second pass, but my dad told me that they turn around north here, then fly south, then to this place called Silsand, and then come back for a second pass, I think. But I tried to call my dad again, but I can't get hold of him.
Okay.
So maybe that was it.
How does your dad know all this information?
I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, we hope the Air Force comes back because we are freezing out here.
I hope so too.
Thank you.
long for frostbite to set in, does it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot faster than I thought. But.
Yeah, considering it's day, sort of daytime now, but at nighttime, wow. I mean, I'm feeling it just standing here on this deck here looking down.
Yeah, I can't imagine being up here at night. I was going to say that the wind died down a little bit.
You won't have to imagine in a half hour, because it'll probably be night then.
Hey, you know, that's a good point. I think all this dawn twilight made me think it, you know, wasn't dark all the time, but it is dark all the time. This is practically sunset, I guess.
It's nice twilight day we have here for a couple hours.
I think, Stig, you were saying that, okay, so it's like between about 10 and 2 that is the brightest points during the day?
Yes, that's true. So you don't get much light on this. Actually, you see it getting darker now.
It's getting darker now. We've already seen most of the day go by.
Yes, the day is over almost.
That's so sad. We just got up. It seemed like the day was beginning, and now it's over into the long night.
It's a different way of coping with staying up here in Norway, in northern Norway especially. People tend to dress up their homes very cozy, since we stay inside a lot. But also there's a lot of activities going outside in the mountains, cross-country skiing, to fill sort of the days. And also there's a lot of pubs and cafes and places to go during the evening and the weekends.
Yeah, we've noticed quite a few of those, and it's very lively nightlife, you know, during the day and night down there in Tromsø.
You really get a sense of that people do, because they kind of cope with it. And from what people have said, it's not ever something that they really get used to, but they deal with it, you know, because it's their home, and they do these, like, little things as far as exercise and having activities and keeping a regimen. And to me, it's like a rhythm, you know, you get into this rhythm, you anticipate these couple months, and then in the summertime, you know, you have the opposite, where there's a lot of light all the time. And I even heard that there's, I think we were talking to a woman yesterday who works with the tourism, and she said that people use supplements a lot. Vitamin D deficiency is something you want to watch out for, so people take cod liver oil, which is something I can relate with coming from Seattle. There's lots of people that claim to have a vitamin D deficiency.
So where do we get this cod liver oil?
I don't know. I think we have to find some cod.
What, do you spread it over your face? You drink it? What do you do with it?
It's just like a spoonful. A
spoonful of cod liver oil.
Yeah, and apparently that's like a daily supplement that can help you keep your vitamin D up.
A nice cup of black coffee, I think, also is good.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Go and get some, because I think we need to go to get the cab down. We're leaving in about a few minutes.
Oh, so our ride down to the bottom of the mountain is almost here.
Yeah.
So we're not going to wait for the airplanes.
No, I think that will be... you will miss it down, so you have to wait another 30 minutes.
I see. Okay, so we're going to go back to the cable car, back to where it's warm and pleasant, hopefully. All right.
Boy, that really was cool, though. Thank you, Stig.
Yes.
Enjoyed that. Well, maybe we'll see them on the way down.
Yeah, that's the sound of that. Yeah, maybe we see them on the way down.
Let's hope they don't get too close to the cable car. Well, they're not from the U.S., so I don't think they're anything to worry about.
Neither Dust av og med Erik K. Skodvin var Harald Arlunds siste musikkvalg denne gangen. Dette programmet også tilgjengelig på NRKs nettradio i 3 uker. Nå skal vi ha nyheter ved midnatt på P2.
Her NRK Dagsnytt ved midnatt. En tidligere farmasistudent siktet etter en bombetrussel mot universitetet i Oslo. Mannen fra Midtøsten, som har studert ved universitetet, ble pågrepet av politiets sikkerhetstjeneste i går.
Truslene mot universitetet i Oslo alvorlige, sier informasjonssjef Martin Berntsen i politiets sikkerhetstjeneste til VG-nett. Mannen ble arrestert i går, men løslatt i ettermiddag fordi politiet ikke fant grunnlag for å be om varetektsfengsling. Mannen har tidligere studert farmasi og blant annet tatt kurs i legemiddelkjemi. Vi tar det på alvor. En annen ting er å si hvor mye realisme det er i dette, sier stabssjef Johan Fredriksen i Oslo politiet til VG-nett. Politiet har vurdert det som trygt å fortsette arbeid og studier. Derfor er det ikke satt i verk noen tiltak fra universitetets side, sier universitetsdirektør Gunn Elin Bjørnebo i en pressemelding.
Og det sa reporter Kjartan Røslett. Legeforeningen frykter at folk ikke skal få god nok behandling om helsedirektoratets forslag til ny sykehusstruktur blir vedtatt. Helsedirektøren vil gjerne omgjøre lokalsykehus til lokalmedisinske sentre, som skal vurdere om folk er syke nok til å få behandling på sykehus. Torunn Janbu er president i Den norske legeforening.
På disse institusjonene så skal du komme da lokalt og bli vurdert om du trenger sykehustjeneste. Sånn at det kan føre til er at det blir et hinder for at folk skal få gode sykehustjenester. Løsningen er å lage en nasjonal sykehusplan hvor folk vet hva de kan forvente å få på lokalsykehuset, føle trygghet for det og vite hvor disse gode lokalsykehusene skal ligge.
En 21 år gammel mann er i Oslo tingrett dømt til 5 års forvaring for en voldtekt og 7 voldtektsforsøk. Oslomannen fulgte samme framgangsmåte ved flere av forsøkene. Han fulgte etter kvinnene på vei hjem fra nattbussen, og da de skulle låse seg inn hjemme, gikk han til angrep. Mannen er også dømt til å betale ofrene en oppreisning på til sammen 705 000 kroner. Dommen er i tråd med aktors påstand, melder Aftenposten. 21-åringen har ikke bestemt om han skal anke dommen. Leger i Norge har for første gang i Europa avdekket en ny type gonoré-bakterie som er motstandsdyktig mot antibiotika. Gonoré er en kjønnssykdom som kan føre til sterilitet og store helseplager for både menn og kvinner dersom de ikke får behandling. Folkehelseinstituttet ser svært alvorlig på det, sier avdelingsdirektør Preben Aavitsland.
Grunnen til at det er alvorlig er jo at vi ikke får kurert de som har sykdommen, og dermed kan de gå over lengre tid og smitte flere, og vi kan risikere mer spredning av gonoré.
Hva forteller det dere at bakteriene nå er kommet hit til landet?
Det forteller oss at gonoré-bakterier raskt sprer seg over hele verden. Nordmenn som reiser særlig til Thailand og Filippinene plukker dette med seg når de har besøkt prostituerte der, og sprer det kanskje videre her hjemme.
Reporter her var Tom Nilsen. Venezuelas nasjonalforsamling har gitt president Hugo Chavez fullmakt til å styre med dekret de neste 18 månedene. Opposisjonen anklager ham for å gjøre Venezuela, Sør-Amerikas største oljeprodusent, til et diktatur. Men Chavez sier fullmakten er nødvendige for å kunne ordne opp i nøden etter flommen som har tatt livet av 40 mennesker og drevet 140 000 fra sine hjem. Så til slutt et værvarsel som gjelder frem til i morgen midnatt. Fjellet i Sør-Norge, snø vesentlig i vest, fra om ettermiddagen lettere vær. Østlandet og Telemark, snø fra om formiddagen lettere vær, stort sett opphold øst for Oslo i og i nordlige områder. Agder, der blir det snø, på Vestlandet sør for Stad, litt snø av og til, ellers stort sett opphold. Møre og Romsdal, oppholdsvær, Trøndelag i grensetraktene, litt snø av og til, ellers stort sett opphold. Helgeland, Saltfjellet, Salten, Ofoten, litt snø i grensetraktene, ellers oppholdsvær. Lofoten og Vesterålen får det meste pent vær. Troms oppholdsvær. Finnmark får det meste oppholdsvær, lokal frostrøyk i fjordstrøka. Og på Spitsbergen blir det oppholdsvær, litt snø fra i morgen ettermiddag. NRK Dagsnytt, Arne Johan Gjermundsen.
Hey, Kyle, do you notice what they're selling over here at this desk?
Ice cream.
They sell ice cream, yes. It's the middle of the winter, and ice cream is for sale. Of course, there's nobody here right now, but doesn't that look tempting?
You know, my right foot's frozen.
My right hand is frozen.
I think I tied my shoe a little too tight on this foot. Gosh, this is cool. It's a neat little lodge.
Yeah, we're on top of the mountain. We were looking up here last couple of days.
Yeah.
How incredibly high this place was, towering over the city, and now we're up here looking down at the city.
It's a great vantage point. You know, I was wary. I'm not a big fan of heights, and the cable car had my qualms about it. And it was really nice of you to give me the spot with the view. But it was also the spot with the biggest drop. And I was wondering if that was maybe you coping with your own fear of heights.
Well, I won't say exactly what my motivation was, but I feel we should share the fear and the joy alike.
Yeah, so maybe you can you get the other end of the gondola on the way down.
I think, you know, going down is probably a lot scarier than going up, because you're sort of, you know, heading, you see the drop right in front of you as you're moving towards it. I don't know.
Yeah, I tried to look out at the horizon, because I didn't want to scare myself.
I figured as a photographer that would be the best place for you.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm sure I will for some time to come. But,
I think we've seen the last of the flybys, though.
Yeah, I think they're done. They might be reloading ammunition or something. Gosh, it's so weird. This is the brightest point in the day, and it's all frosty. It's really eerie out the back of this lodge. There's a swing set.
Which that is rather strange.
It's kind of funny. There's like a swing set where the kids could play.
It's not always frozen tundra here. In the summertime, it's light. And it's summertime, 24 hours a day.
Sure.
Or light, 24 hours a day.
All right, so that's probably good for the little ones. They can have something to play on during the warmer parts of the year.
Yes, our cable car will be arriving shortly, or leaving shortly.
You know, cozy is a good way to describe Tromsø, though. I mean, you get the sense, I think we're talking about the population, there's not a lot of people in the city. I think it was, what?
30,000 is what I heard.
30,000 in just the city of Tromsø itself.
Yes.
Yeah, and it just seems real intimate like that. Not a big, huge commercial place. And
there's no McDonald's here. There were two Burger Kings, but no McDonald's.
Yes, and no Starbucks either.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good. I can only imagine what it's like to grow up here and, you know, go off to another part of the world.
It must seem strange to go to a place where the sun rises and sets every day.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, an urban environment. Even though Tromsø is fairly, you know, developed, it's been around for a long time, so they've had plenty of time to look into what the rest of the world is doing, but it is remote, but populous. I mean, the city's real condensed and walkable, and, you know, you can enjoy it. And
yeah, they do have lots of traffic. They have cars and streets and don't walk signs and things like that. And plus,
yeah, it's fairly busy.
It's also connected to the rest of Norway. You can get to the southern part of Norway by car, unlike northern Canada, where you need to connect by plane.
Right, right. In certain parts of the year, it's just not practical to take a car across parts of the tundra or I don't know, what do you call that?
I don't think you can ever
get... Klondike? No, that's Alaska.
You can never get from Nunavut or Northwest Territory, certain parts of it, to the south by car, even in the summertime. I just don't think there are any roads.
Wow. So it's all flying.
When I went to Baffin Island, it's an island, so you'd have to take a boat at the very least.
Hmm.
Sure, look out in the back a little bit.
Oh, sure.
The endless mountains.
My right foot's still frozen, by the way.
Well, we're not going to go outside. We're just going to look at the frozenness. We had some snowboarders on our cable car who've just disappeared into the mountains somewhere.
I think that's pretty cool. You know, they just do that for fun. You know, just grab their boards and go up. You know, it's not a lot of people. It's not like some busy commercial ski resort. And, you know, they seem to just... They help bring kegs of beer onto the gondola.
That was nice of them.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the way they kind of pay their way. They're just like, okay, we'll help bring the beer up.
And the only real safety precaution here is a sign in four languages that says, warning, all traffic is at your own responsibility. Children should be accompanied by adults. And that's pretty much it. Common sense takes over.
I think that says it all, too.
Is that smoke I see rising from behind that mountain there?
I think that's like a snow blast. Or
snow what? Blast?
Snow blast, yeah.
Is that a new phenomenon?
Yeah, it's where the snow blasts. I don't know. You know, like a drift, Arctic drift. What do you call it? Snow drift.
Well, it looks like smoke in the air to me, but it doesn't make sense that anything would be on fire over there.
Right. No, I'd hardly believe someone if they said there was smoke over there.
And while there's snow on the ground, we haven't really seen any snowfall while we were here. And I imagine there's parts of this area that get a whole lot more snow than what's here, since it's rather temperate. But yeah, it's snowy for the entire season, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if they've probably got all the snow they're going to get. Well, no, they'll get more.
Yeah, I think we were told in January is when it really begins in earnest.
Right, January. February, March, there's a lot of, that's considered the winter, more or less.
Shall we go down? We're going down to the cable car.
So we're
going to
go down and...
Watch the stairs. It can be a bit slippery.
Stairs are slippery, you say?
Yep.
Okay, watch out for the ice on the stairs. See, in the United States we could sue, but Norway, you just have to watch out. Okay, it's just pretty damn scary looking... out the front of the cable car straight down like that. Wow. Hey, Kyle, could you maybe... You're not safer back there than up here. If you could just take one picture looking straight down, that'd be nice. You have my camera, right?
Yeah. I do. Okay. Hold on, let me... Good God.
Yeah, it's really
something. How do you make it?
But you really are no safer back there. The only difference is that you're seeing how high up we are if you go to the front.
Yeah, I think that's probably 90% of it. Good God. All right. Okay, you want a picture of it?
Just straight down the incredible drop. And
thanks, Eve. Yeah.
Well, actually, you're on video mode now, so you're making a movie. You gotta throw that switch up there. Yeah, up two. Okay. Before we actually start moving. And here we go. Great, now you may retreat to the back of the vehicle as we begin to move. And here we go. Oh, crap. Oh, boy.
So when are you broadcasting this?
Well, when they find it, I imagine somebody will eventually get this file and put it on the radio. Words fail me. I didn't realize it was this much of a drop.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you like that?
I'm not looking. I'm seriously
looking behind. You're feeling, though, and I'm feeling as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you think of cables, you know, and what they can do, and how much faith we have in them.
I like looking really far out, you know. Towards
well, that's what
the
I did on the way. I see what you mean now.
Behind the, it's like seasickness, right?
No, it's not like that at all. It's like pure unfettered fear.
Yeah, that too.
But look at it this way: we're in airplanes, right? And we don't have a cable holding us up there. All we have is willpower holding us in the air when we're in an airplane. So we're actually safer here.
Yeah. Is this the point in conversation where we start talking about space elevators?
No.
Okay.
But there comes a point where you say, okay, you know, we could survive. Here comes the other cable car. It's very much like the Roosevelt Island tram, which for some reason we call a tram instead of a cable car, where the cable is actually the thing that's moving. And if you look at the cable, it's not moving. It's remaining steady. And here comes the other cable car. And we wave, and there's nobody in it, but we waved anyway. As we see the city of Tromso across the... it's a river, right? Is that a river?
No, that's a fjord.
Really?
You mean this?
The water.
Is it the sea?
That's the sea, yeah, that's a fjord.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Okay. Tromso is soon. Yeah. So, it's the Atlantic.
Very interesting. We have an Atlantic, too, back in New York.
It's So we are heading next to this place I showed you last day. You know, with the toppled buildings that looks like
dominoes falling.
Yeah, like ice breaking up. So we're going there to see. They have a museum and an exhibition there, so we can look at the seals.
Warm and on the ground. That's a welcome relief. All right, now we're
this looks better.
It's better. We're still well above the tree line.
Yeah, but yeah, I feel better about this. Okay, we're about 30 yards away.
I honestly didn't think it was that high when I was looking down, but when we got in this thing, wow, it was scary.
Excuse me.
I see a lot of people waiting for the cable car now.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bottom. The thing is, we feel safe now, but if this thing dropped at this height, we'd probably still be in very bad shape.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't take as long to realize it.
Did anybody see that?
Did you almost fall again?
I almost fell like real crazy. You know, I got my moves now. Like, you get so used to the dang ice, you get your moves. You know, foot goes out from the other. You jog your hands a little and catch yourself.
I see people doing that all the time here. It's amazing.
Nobody's fallen yet. No,
we saw somebody fall on their face yesterday, but they tripped over a staircase.
That poor girl. I was like, "Are you okay?" She trips on the stairs.
She managed the ice just fine. It was a staircase she couldn't handle.
Yeah, she was dying laughing. She like fell rolling over laughing, and her friend came over and like threw herself on the ground and started laughing with her. But God, it's so funny.
Oh, wow, this is a warm car.
Season 3, det er den nye sesongen for dette radioprogrammet som Bob Dylan lager for en satellittradiostasjon i USA. Og som Ace Records har gitt ut musikken fra, for musikken er fri og tilgjengelig. Stort sett er både gamle og nye plater som Dylan presenterer i dette programmet. Så Ace Records har da gitt ut to CD-er tidligere. To dobbelt CD-er får jeg si, og nå da den nye ute, og det 50 kutt på denne dobbelt CD-en, og jeg må jo spille selvsagt en låt som med her av Woody Guthrie, som var Dylans første store idol, mannen som han oppsøkte på sykehuset. Woody Guthrie lå mange år på sykehus, led av Huntingtons chorea, som visst nok en alvorlig nevrologisk sykdom. Setesdals rykja heter den på norsk. Det ikke mange som lider av den, men den særdeles forferdelig. Men i hvert fall Woody Guthrie, mannen som fra 1935 reiste rundt i USA og laget låter. Altså det som skjedde i 1935 var altså at du fikk denne store, ja du fikk altså The Dust Bowl, Oklahoma og statene omkring, altså i Midtvesten. Der hadde jordbrukerne i en årrekke ikke dyrka jorda sånn som de burde, sånn at det var massevis av toppjord som var altså støv rett og slett. Så det var altså en støvstorm som varte i mange år, og Woody Guthrie opplevde den selv også. Og det var jeg fra Oklahoma for øvrig. Men i hvert fall, han har jo skrevet sanger som Første gang de ble samlet og utgitt var på Folkways Records i 44 eller noe sånt nå. Alt dette her finnes online i The Smithsonian Institute, og han har jo laget låter som blitt en del av den amerikanske arven, This Land Is Your Land for eksempel, og alle sangene i The Dust Bowl Ballads. Her skal du få en av hans mest kjente. Her Woody Guthrie med So Long, It's Been Good to Know You.
I've sung this song, but I'll sing it again, of the place that I lived on the wild windy plains in the month called April, county called Gray, and here's what all of the people there say. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust is getting my home, and I've got to be drifting along. A dust storm hit, and it hit like thunder. It dusted us over, and it covered us under. Blocked out the traffic and blocked out the sun. Straight for home all the people did run, singing so long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. This dusty old dust is getting my home, I've got to be drifting along. We talked of the end of the world, and then we'd sing a song and then sing it again. We'd sit for an hour and not say a word, and then these words would be heard. So long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. This dusty old dust is getting my home, and I've got to be drifting along. Sweetheart sat in the dark and sparked. They hugged and kissed in that dusty old dark. They sighed and cried, hugged and kissed. Instead of marriage, they talk like this. Honey, so long, been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. This dusty old dust is getting our home, and I've got to be drifting along. Now the telephone rang and it jumped off the wall. That was the preacher making his call. He said, kind friend, this may be the end, and you've got your last chance at salvation of sin. The churches was jammed and the churches was packed, and that dusty old dust storm blowed so black. Preacher could not read a word of his text, and he folded his specs and he took up collection. Said, so long, been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. So long, it's been good to know ye. This dusty old dust is getting my home, and I've got to be drifting along.
Hi, I'm Eve, and this is your WUSB Concert Billboard for Monday, June 13th. Not much happening, but there's an open jam with Kenny Forgione and the band at KJ Farrell's in Belmore at 6 p.m. This is your Concert Billboard for Tuesday, June 14th. On Your Radar with Greg Trooper, Runa, and Miss Tess at the Living Room in Manhattan at 7 p.m. The Decemberists will be at the Prospect Park Bandshell in Brooklyn at 7 p.m., and Rory Kelly will be in Babylon at the Bartini Bar at 8:30. This is your concert billboard for Wednesday, June 15th. Robin Trower at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, that's at 8 p.m. Daniel Lenoir Black Dub at Webster Hall in the City at 8 p.m. The Low Anthem at 8 p.m. at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn. This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
Kids Finn's Revolution. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Tonight, we're going to do a little celebration of James Joyce Ulysses, as Bloomsday is in a couple of days, the 16th. And so we're going to jump the gun and get you going. We're going to head down to Davy Burns Tavern and get it rocking. So stay tuned for that. Rich Caputo's on board. Stay tuned.
Things align. Pause. Drinking stalls. New language soars. Remembering walks. Remembering walks. A glass river pours. Course things align. Imagine new times. Imagine new times. Paperweight lives. Parade undesigned. Things align. Pause drinking stalls. new language soars. Remembering walks.
Show.